Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, all praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen. Rahman Rahim. Inshallah, today we will continue to learn about the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the title of the class of today is the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, the treaty between the Muslims and the Quraysh. Actually, as the Muslims settled in Medina, they had their society and state based on the rules of the Quran, and they had peace with all the non-Muslims around them. So the number of the Muslims grew year after year, and their society became more stable and united. On the sixth year of emigration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and after the annual fast of Ramadan, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a dream which indicated that the Muslims should go to Mecca for pilgrimage. So 1,400 Muslims got ready to go with him to lesser pilgrimage called Umrah, because Umrah is a lesser pilgrimage. They dressed in white and went unarmed to show the people of Mecca, the disbelievers, that they had come to make the pilgrimage and not to fight. When the disbelievers of Quraysh heard that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was on his way, they sent troops to stop Muslims from entering the city of Mecca. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed his route and led the men through rugged mountain ways to mislead the people of Quraysh. At a place called Al-Hudaybiyah, which is south of Mecca, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam camel knelt down and refused to go further. The Muslims thought she was either stubborn or tired, but the Prophet said, "There is a power which is stopping us from entering Mecca." He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then ordered the Muslims to make a camp, which they did, although they all hoped they would travel on to the sacred Kaaba the following day. So they decided to send messengers to Quraysh in Mecca to tell them that Muslims had come only for the pilgrimage to worship Allah at the Holy Kaaba, and that they wanted to enter the city peacefully. But Quraysh took no notice. Finally, the Prophet's son-in-law, Uthman ibn Affan, a wise and respected man, was chosen to go, and the Muslims settled down to wait and see what news he would bring back. After they had waited for a long time, the Muslims became very worried. At last, they decided that he must have been killed. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gathered the Muslims around him under a tree and asked them to swear their obedience to him, which they did. This pact, which is mentioned in Surah number 48, verse number 18, today inshallah we will learn all chapter 48 from the Quran, which is the chapter related to the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. We will read it all after we will learn from the class. We will read the whole chapter inshallah. So actually, this pact, which is mentioned in Surah 48, verse 18, became known as the Treaty of Radwan, which means the Treaty of Paradise. Shortly after, Uthman ibn Affan returned, and the Muslims were thankful to see that no harm had come to him. Some Meccans tried to attack the Muslim camp, but were captured and brought before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who forgave them, as they promised to stop attacking the Muslims. Soon after, official messengers came from Quraysh and they decided to begin a peaceful settlement with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A man called Suhail ibn Amr was sent by the Meccans to work out a treaty. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked Ali his cousin to write, now they are starting to write the treaty between the Muslims and the messenger who came from Mecca on behalf of the people of Mecca, Suhail ibn Amr. The one who was who had the job to write the treaty was Ali ibn Abi Talib. So when the Prophet asked Ali to write on the top of the page, in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, the messenger from Mecca objected, saying, write only in the name of Allah. I don't know him as the most gracious, the most merciful. Because he is not a believer. The Prophet agreed and dictated, this is a treaty between Muhammad, the messenger of Allah, and Suhail ibn Amr. Stop, cried Suhail. I don't believe that you are the messenger of Allah. If I thought you were Allah's messenger, I would not be fighting against you. Would I? Calmly, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam agreed that he should be referred to in the treaty as Muhammad, son of Abdullah. Just his name. Okay, he gets the word messenger of Allah out. The Muslims were very upset at this. And Umar ibn al-Khattab cried out, are you not Allah's messenger? And are we not the Muslims? How can we accept such treatment when we are right and they are wrong? This will make people laugh at our religion. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he knew what was best and the treaty was signed. In the treaty, the two sides agreed for the following. Now, this is the treaty between the Muslims in Medina and the non-believers in Mecca. Okay, they agreed for the following. Number one, both parties would cease hostilities for a period of 10 years. The parties would not interfere with the free movement of one another. The Prophet and the Muslims would return that year. They will not do Umrah, the sixth year of Hijrah. But the Muslims would be permitted to enter Mecca for Umrah the following year for 3 days only. Any Muslim man coming from Mecca or Quraysh to join the Muslims would be sent back. None is allowed to accompany the Prophet in Medina. But any man going from the Muslims to the disbelievers would not be sent back. You see, any tribes other than Quraysh that wishes to enter an alliance with the Quraysh or Muhammad, they are free to do so. So these are the five points which were mentioned in the treaty between Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the disbeliever in Quraysh. It is clear that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam accepted this very difficult points or conditions for the sake of Islam. Okay, because it is unfair that whoever is coming to the Muslims will be sent back, and whoever is coming from the Muslims back to Quraysh will be accepted. It is unfair that after reaching Mecca, he and the Muslim are supposed to return back and not to do the Umrah. And next year they will be accepted only for 3 days. Okay, so it is very clear that, you know, those disbelievers were still, you know, trying to show their power on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is teaching us a very important lesson regarding accepting these conditions, and we will learn it now, inshallah. Now we will learn about the son of the man who was signing, you know, that treaty. The son of Suhail, he had come with his father with the idea of joining the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when the treaty was signed, he was of course forced to return to Mecca. Because, you know, Muslims cannot accept anyone coming from Mecca according to the treaty. So that the son of Suhail, who was coming to join Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was not allowed. None is allowed to join Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was forced to return to Mecca back. Subhanallah. He cried and he was very sad. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Oh Abu Jandal, be patient." His name was Abu Jandal. "Be patient and control yourself. Allah will provide relief and find out for you and a way for you and others like you." What he can do, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was looking for the peace with the people of Quraysh so that he can go back to Mecca and he can do Umrah. The majority of Muslims were very disappointed when they knew about the terms of the agreement. They didn't realize that this was a great victory for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which Allah would later confirm in a revelation. A revelation will come to prove that this treaty was a victory for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The agreement made sure that the following year they would enter Mecca peacefully. Okay, so now Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Muslims in Medina are sure, or were sure, that they will enter Mecca the next year. Before the Muslims departed, they followed the Prophet's example of making sacrifice and either shaving or cutting their hair. They are completing all, you know, the requirement for the Umrah. In spite of the fact they didn't enter Mecca, but they followed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to feel that Allah will accept from them this Umrah, because they had the intention to do it and they were prevented from doing it. So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made the sacrifice and he shaved his hair. They followed him of either of making the sacrifice and either shaving or cutting their hair, even though they were unable to visit Al-Kaaba, but their pilgrimage was accepted by Allah because it had been their true intention. And again Allah is clarifying to us that in Islam, all praise to Allah, actions are but by intention. So if you have the intention to do the good deed, then you were prevented from doing it from by any person or for any condition, it is accepted for you and you will get the complete reward. On the return journey to Medina, the victory chapter of the Quran was revealed, and inshallah we will know it in detail. Today we will know the meaning of the victory chapter of the Quran today, inshallah, because it is related to the treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah. What are the positive results of the treaty between the Muslims and the Quraysh? Number one, Muslims were no more in danger from Quraysh, because now there is peace between them for 10 years, so there is no possibility for any fights or war between them. Number two, fear was introduced in the hearts of the believers, because now they realize that Muslims are powerful and they were 1,400 Muslims coming, so they must rethink it over regarding the power of the Muslims, so fear was introduced in their hearts. Number three, the opportunity for a spread of Islam was increased, and actually the number that traveled to Medina next year was greater than all the years before. How this happened, we will know now, because in the treaty it was mentioned that none is supposed to come to Medina. So there was a very special condition which happened, which allowed the Muslim to come to Medina, and their number on that year was greater than all the previous years. Number four, this treaty allowed the Prophet to call to Islam outside the Arabian Peninsula. Okay, which is Saudi, the area, the Arabian, it is called Peninsula.
Peninsula.
Peninsula?
It's a hard word to say. Peninsula.
Okay. Actually, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for the sake of the peace with the people of Quraysh, he accepted that treaty in spite of the fact that some terms are not, you know, the terms of justice for him and for the Muslim. But he accepted it for the goal of the peace. But Allah the Almighty helped him because of his acceptance, that those people whom, those Muslims whom they want to join him, okay, and they were turned back to Mecca, they didn't return to Mecca. they all collected in a place and they started to give hard time to the Quraysh people and to the tribes, okay, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, which were passing by. Accordingly, Quraysh told the Prophet that if he wanted to take these new Muslims, they would not ask for them to be returned. So Allah allowed the Muslims, whom they are coming from Quraysh and from Mecca, to join the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina. And this was not mentioned in the treaty, but this was the choice of the people of Mecca when they realized that those Muslims will cause trouble for them and for their trade. The young men from the seashore were shortly followed by those Muslims who were still living in Abyssinia, and soon the number of Muslims in Medina was doubled. Okay, so again, sisters, let us reflect on this fact. When Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam he signed the treaty with Suhail, it was mentioned that none of the people are supposed to join Prophet Muhammad in Medina. Okay, planning that the number of the Muslims will not increase. But Allah the Almighty made it easy for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to have the number of the Muslims to be doubled. Okay, and this was the choice of the people of Quraysh, so that we will be always believing that Allah will help and give victory to those whom they follow His rules. Also, two great men, Khalid ibn al-Walid, a very brave fighter, and Amr ibn al-As, a clever, rich speaker, they both became Muslims. A year after the signing of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to lead 2,000, not 1,400, 600 more Muslims added, okay, to the to do pilgrimage in Mecca. To do Umrah in Mecca. The agreed period for the Muslim to stay in Mecca was only 3 days. Then they returned to Medina. So actually, this is the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, which was, according to Allah, a victory for the Muslims. So now, inshallah, we will recite from the whole Quran the whole chapter of the victory, so that we will know in more details from the Holy Quran about that treaty, how it was a great victory for the Muslims, in spite of the fact that the terms of the treaty were not so having all the justice for the Muslims, but it was, according to Allah, a victory. We will know now from the Holy Quran. We will recite chapter number 48, all the chapter, inshallah, and we will know its meaning in details, so that we will learn the lesson of the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Allah, we will recite verse from chapter 48, Fath, the victory. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, inna fatahna laka fatham mubina.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Indeed, we have given you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a clear conquest.
لِيَغْفِرَ لَكَ اللَّهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِكَ وَمَا تَأَخَّرَ وَيُتِمَّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ وَيَهْدِيَكَ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا.
That Allah may forgive you for you that proceeded, excuse me, that Allah may forgive for you what proceeded of your sin, the errors of what you will follow, and complete His favor upon you and guide you to a straight path.
وينصرك الله نصرا عزيزا.
And that Allah may aid you with a mighty victory.
هو الذي أنزل السكينة في قلوب المؤمنين ليزدادوا إيمانا مع إيمانهم ولله جنود السماوات والأرض وكان الله عليما حكيما.
It is He who has sent down tranquility into the hearts of the believers, that they would increase in faith along with their present faith. And to Allah belong the soldiers of the heaven and the earth, and ever is Allah knowing and wise.
ليدخل المؤمنين والمؤمنات جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار خالدين فيها ويكفر عنهم سيئاتهم وكان ذلك عند الله فوزا عظيما.
And then he may admit the believing men and the believing women to gardens beneath which rivers flow, and to abide therein eternally, and remove from them their misdeeds. And ever is that, in the sight of Allah, a great attainment.
ويعذب المنافقين والمنافقات والمشركين والمشركات الظانين بالله ظن السوء عليهم دائرة السوء وغضب الله عليهم ولعنهم وأعد لهم جهنم وساءت مصيرا.
And that he may punish the hypocrite men and hypocrite women, and the polytheist men and the polytheist women, those who assume about Allah an assumption of evil nature. Upon them is a misfortune and an evil nature, and Allah has become angry with them and has cursed them and prepared for them hell, and evil it is as a destination.
ولله جنود السماوات والأرض وكان الله عزيزا حكيما.
And to Allah belongs the soldiers of the heavens and the earth, and ever is Allah exalted and mighty and wise.
إِنَّا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ شَاهِدًا وَمُبَشِّرًا وَنَذِيرًا لِتُؤْمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَتُعَذِّرُوهُ وَتُوَقِّرُوهُ وَتُسَبِّحُوهُ بُكْرَةً وَأَصِيلًا.
Indeed, we have sent you as a good witness and a bringer of good tidings and a warner, that you people may believe in Allah and His Messenger and honor Him and respect Him, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and exalt Him, Allah, morning and afternoon.
إن الذين يبايعونك إنما يبايعون الله يد الله فوق أيديهم فمن نكث فإنما ينكس على نفسه ومن أوفى بما عاهد عليه الله فسيؤتيه أجرا عظيما.
Indeed, those who pledge allegiance to you, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, they are actually pledging allegiance to Allah. The hand of Allah is over their hands. So he who breaks his word only breaks it to the detriment of himself. And he who fulfills that which he has promised Allah, he will give him a great reward.
Verse number 11. سيقول لك المخلفون من الأعراب شغلتنا أموالنا وأهلنا فاستغفر لنا يقولون بألسنتهم ما ليس في قلوبهم قل فمن يملك لكم من الله شيئا إن أراد بكم ضرا أو أراد بكم نفعا بل كان الله بما تعملون خبيرا.
And those who remain behind of the Bedouins will say to you, our properties and our families occupied us, so ask forgiveness for us. They say with their tongues that is not within their hearts. Say, then who could prevent Allah at all if He intended for you harm or intended for you benefit, whether ever is Allah of what you do aware?
Verse number 12. بل ظننتم أن لن ينقلب الرسول والمؤمنون إلى أهليهم أبدا وزين ذلك في قلوبكم وظننتم ظن السوء وكنتم قوما بورا.
But you thought that the messenger and the believers would never return to their families ever, and that was made pleasing in your hearts. And you assumed an assumption of evil and became a people ruined.
Verse number 13. وَمَنْ لَمْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَإِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلْكَافِرِينَ سَعِيرًا.
And whoever has not believed in Allah and His Messenger, then indeed we have prepared for the disbelievers a blaze.
ولله ملك ولله ملك السماوات والأرض يغفر لمن يشاء ويعذب من يشاء وكان الله غفورا رحيما.
And to Allah belongs the dominion of the heavens and the earth. He forgives whom He wills and He punishes whom he wills, and ever is Allah forgiving and merciful.
Verse 15. سيقول المخلفون إذا انطلقتم إلى مغانم لتأخذوها ذرونا نتبعكم يريدون أن يبدلوا كلام الله قل لن تتبعونا كذلكم قال الله من قبل فسيقولون بل تحسدوننا بل كانوا لا يفقهون إلا قليلا.
Those who remain behind will say, when you set out toward the war, we need to take it. Let us follow you. They wish to change the words of Allah. Say, never will you follow us. Thus did Allah say before. So they will say, rather you envy us. But in fact, they were not understanding except a little.
Verse 16. قل للمخلفين من الأعراب ستدعون إلى قوم أولي بأس شديد تقاتلونهم أو يسلمون فإن تطيعوا يؤتكم الله أجرا حسنا وإن تتولوا كما توليتم من قبل يعذبكم عذابا أليما.
Say to those who remain behind are the Bedouins, you will be called to face the people, a great military might. You may fight them, or they will submit. And if you obey, Allah will give you a good reward. But if you turn away as you turned away before, He will punish you with a painful punishment.
ليس على verse 17 ليس على الأعمى حرج ولا على الأعرج حرج ولا على المريض حرج ومن يطع الله ورسوله يدخله جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار ومن يتولى يعذبه عذابا أليما.
There is not upon the blind any guilt or upon the lame any guilt or upon the ill any guilt for remaining behind. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger, He will admit him to gardens beneath which rivers flow. But whoever turns away, He will punish him with a painful punishment.
Verse 18. لقد رضي الله عن المؤمنين إذ يبايعونك تحت الشجرة فعلم ما في قلوبهم فأنزل السكينة عليهم وأثابهم فتحا قريبا.
Certainly was Allah pleased with the believers when they pledged allegiance to you, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, under the tree, and He knew what was in their hearts. So He sent down tranquility upon them and rewarded them with an intimate conquest.
Verse 19. ومغانم كثيرة يأخذونها وكان الله عزيزا حكيما وعدكم الله مغانم كثيرة تأخذونها فعجل لكم هذه وكف أيدي الناس عنكم ولتكون آية للمؤمنين ويهديكم صراطا مستقيما. Verse 19 and 20.
And much war booty which they will take, and ever is Allah exalted and mighty and wise. Allah has promised you much booty that you will take in the future, and has hastened for you this victory, and withheld the hands of people from you, that it may be a sign for the believers, and that He may guide you to a straight path.
Verse 21. وأخرى لم تقدروا عليها قد أحاط الله بها وكان الله على كل شيء قديرا.
And He promises other victories that you were so far unable to realize, which Allah has already encompassed, and ever is Allah over all things competent.
Verse 22. ولو قاتلكم الذين كفروا لولوا الأدبار ثم لا يجدون وليا ولا نصيرا.
And if those Meccans who disbelieved had fought you, they would have turned their backs in flight. Then they would not find a protector or a helper.
verse 23, سُنَّةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلُ وَلَنْ تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا.
This is the established way of Allah which has occurred before, and never will you find in the way of Allah any change.
Verse 24, وَهُوَ الَّذِي كَفَّ أَيْدِيَهُمْ عَنْكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ عَنْهُمْ بِبَطْنِ مَكَّةِ مِنْ بَعْدِ أَنْ أَظْفَرَكُمْ عَلَيْهِمْ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرًا.
And it is he who withheld their hands from you and your hands from them within the area of Mecca after he caused you to overcome them. And ever is Allah of what you do seeing.
هم الذين كفروا وصدوكم عن المسجد الحرام والهدي معكوفا أن يبلغ محله ولولا رجال مؤمنون ونساء مؤمنات لم تعلموهم أن تطؤوهم فتصيبكم منهم معرة بغير علم ليدخل الله في رحمته من يشاء لو تزيلوا لعذبنا الذين كفروا منهم عذابا أليما.
There are the ones who disbelieved and obstructed you from Al-Masjid al-Haram while the offering was prevented from reaching its place of sacrifice. And if not for believing men and believing women whom you did not know that you might trample or kill, then and there would befall you because of them dishonor without your knowledge. You would have been permitted to enter Mecca. This was so that Allah might admit to His mercy whom He willed. If they had been apart from them, we would have punished those who disbelieved among them with painful punishment.
Verse 26. إذ جعل الذين كفروا في قلوبهم الحمية حمية الجاهلية فأنزل الله سكينته على رسوله وعلى المؤمنين وألزمهم كلمة التقوى وكانوا أحق بها وأهلها وكان الله بكل شيء عليما.
When those who disbelieved had put into their hearts chauvinism, the chauvinism of the time of ignorance, but Allah set down His tranquility upon His Messenger and upon the believers, and imposed upon them the word of righteousness, and they were more deserving of it and worthy of it, and ever is Allah of all things knowing.
Verse 27, لقد صدق الله رسوله الرؤيا بالحق لتدخلن المسجد الحرام إن شاء الله آمنين محلقين رؤوسكم ومقصرين لا تخافون فعلم ما لم تعلموا فجعل من دون ذلك فتحا قريبا.
Certainly has Allah showed to His Messenger the vision and a dream in truth. You will surely enter Al-Masjid Haram if Allah wills, in safety with your head shaved and the hair shortened. Not fearing anyone, He knew what you did not know and has arranged before that a conquest near at hand.
Verse 28, هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله وكفى بالله شهيدا.
It is He who has sent His Messenger with guidance and the religion of truth to manifest over all religion, and sufficient is Allah as a witness.
Verse 29, the last verse of the chapter of 48, Muhammadun Rasulullah, والذين معه أشداء على الكفار رحماء بينهم تراهم ركعا سجدا يبتغون فضلا من الله ورضوانا سيماهم في وجوههم من أثر السجود ذلك مثلهم في التوراة وما مثلهم في الإنجيل كذرع أخرج شطأه فآذره فاستغلظ فاستوى على سوقه يعجب الزراع ليغيظ بهم الكفار وعد الله الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات منهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما.
Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, and those with him we are forceful against the disbelievers, merciful among themselves. You see them bowing and prostrating in prayer, seeking bounty from Allah and his pleasure. Their sign is in their faces from the effect of prostration and prayer. That is their description in the Torah, and their description in the Gospel is in their description in the Gospel is a plant which produces its offshoots and strengthens them so they grow firm and stand upon their stalks, delighting their sowers, so that He Allah may enrage by them the disbelievers. Allah has promised those who believe and do righteous deeds among them forgiveness and a great reward.
So actually, sister, this is the chapter 48, the victory, the chapter of victory, which was revealed in Medina after Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned from the area of Hudaybiyah during the month of Dhul-Qa'dah in the sixth year of Hijrah. This is when the idol worshippers prevented him from reaching Al-Kaaba to perform Umrah that he intended. They stopped the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from reaching Mecca at that time, but then were prone to peace negotiations. A peace treaty was conducted that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would return this year, the sixth year of Hijrah, and then come back for Umrah the following year. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam agreed. However, some of the companions disliked these terms, including Umar ibn al-Khattab, as it will be mentioned. And after Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after that he slaughtered his sacrificed animals in the area in Al-Hudaybiyah, where he was stopped and headed back to Al-Madina. Allah the Exalted and Most Honored revealed the surah about what occurred between him and the idol worshippers. Allah declared the Al-Hudaybiyah peace treaty a manifest victory because of the benefit peace would carry and the good results that did originate from it. We will learn from the Tafsir Ibn Kathir about the important meaning facts which we need to learn from that chapter of the Holy Quran. Actually, according to Al-Bukhari, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when that chapter of the Quran was revealed on his return from Al-Hudaybiyah, he said, "Tonight, a verse of the Quran that is dearer to me than all that the earth carries was revealed to me." What was that verse of the Quran? That verse of the Quran was the two verses of the chapter of victory, which are Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. "Verily, we have given you, O Muhammad, peace be upon you, a manifest victory, that Allah may forgive you your sins of the past and the future, and complete His favor on you, and guide you on the straight path, and that Allah may help you with strong help." So actually, when Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that and won that these three verses of the Quran were revealed to him on his way back to Medina, he said that these are the dearest verses of the Quran to his spirit, because Allah is giving him the glad tidings that all his sins in the previous and the future ones will be forgiven by Allah the Almighty. And at that point, those whom they accompany Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accompanied him, they said, "Congratulations, O Allah's Messenger. Allah the Exalted and Most Honored has stated what He will do with you. So what He will do with us?" So Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited for them the following verses: يدخل المؤمنين والمؤمنات جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار. The answer for their question was the verses of the Quran which Allah mentioned that he may admit the believing men and the believing women to gardens under which rivers flow. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. To abide therein forever, and he may expiate from them their sins, and that is with Allah a supreme success. So these were the glad tidings which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and those whom they were with him at Al-Hudaybiyah Treaty, they received from Allah the Almighty. Let us now know in more details about the meaning of every verse of Surah Al-Fath, so that inshallah we will be always remembering the treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah, we will be always remembering the terms of that treaty, and we will be always remember that it was a great victory from Allah. In verse number 1, Allah is saying, verily we have given you a manifest victory, means a clear and apparent victory. This is about the treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah, which resulted in great goodness, including people embracing Islam in large numbers and having the chance to meet each other openly. People from all over, they will meet each other openly. During that time, the believers preached to the idol worshippers, and thus beneficial knowledge and faith spread all over around. Allah also stated, and regarding the statement of Allah, Allah may forgive you your sins of the past and the future, this contains one of the special virtues of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and no one else shares this honor with him. There is no hadith that states that any person other than the Messenger of Allah earned forgiveness for all his sins of the past and the future on account of performing good deeds. This indeed is a great honor for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who fulfilled the requirements of Allah's obedience and followed the right path. This is for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the perfect human being, the leader, the chief of all mankind in this life and in the hereafter. Then Allah mentioned that he will guide Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to the straight path, and Allah will help him with the strong help. Regarding the helping of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah is clarifying the help in verse number 4, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, when Allah mentioned that he will send down the tranquility into the hearts of the believer, that they may grow more in faith along with their present faith. Actually, this is one of the forms of the victory or the help of Allah to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he will make the followers more stronger in their faith, so that they will be following all the rules of Allah very easy, which Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioning to them. Regarding sending the calmness and the tranquility to the hearts of the believer, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, this means that Allah will increase their faith more and more. When Allah will increase the faith in the heart of a believer, this means that he will have more tranquility and more peace in his heart. Then Allah is mentioning that to Allah belongs the armies of the heavens and the earth. The meaning of this verse of the Quran, sister, is that had Allah willed to send only one angel to them, then angels would have brought destruction to all what they had did. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that Allah has the power, okay, to do whatever he likes. If he wants to destroy the people of Quraysh with one angel, it will be very easy for him. But Allah is teaching us that we must try our best and we must sacrifice for the sake of our goals. It is not an easy job for us just to say, I'm a believer, then Allah will give us the victory. We must prove our reality. Allah is mentioning that next that He will admit the believers to the gardens, Bismillah, to gardens under which rivers flow to abide therein forever. Actually, this is the reward of Allah for the believers. And when we recite the Holy Quran and we recite that verse of the Quran, actually, this is a source of tranquility and peace for the believers. Because it means that if you are suffering in your life, if you are sacrificing a lot of enjoyments for the sake of your belief, for the sake of following the rules of Allah, be sure that you are the winner, because you will win the gardens and you will abide there forever. This is the greatest reward in the worldly life and in the hereafter. So this is a source of encouragement and glad tidings to every believer. Don't worry if life is difficult for you as a believer, if you are stopping yourself, or if you are living away from a lot of the enjoyment of the worldly life for the sake of Allah. Some of the people whom they are not true believers, they are under the impression that they are the ones enjoying all the enjoyment, and those believers, the foolish, okay, they are not enjoying anything, believing that Allah will reward them in the hereafter. Those are the people whom they don't believe in the hereafter. But for those whom they have their belief, a sincere belief, those whom they are clear regarding the reality that there is no God but Allah, and there must be a hereafter and a paradise and a hellfire, those are the ones whom Allah is sending for them this glad tidings. Allah will make you to enter the gardens under which rivers flow to abide therein forever, forever. And those whom they are laughing on the believers, or they are always believing that believers are foolish, Allah, the Almighty, the Exalted, He knows how to punish them. So for every believer, let us all the time remember that Allah said, and that is with Allah supreme success. Okay, we must be all the time having the clear vision regarding what is the great success, because most of the people on the earth now, they are not clear regarding what is the great success. The great success is to enjoy my life through my flesh day and night, or the great success is the materialistic enjoyment of the worldly life, or the great success is the gardens under which the rivers flow to abide there forever. What is the great success? Okay, it is up to you to choose what is the great success and to live your life for that goal. If your goal is the flesh, you will be like an animal. Okay, because the animals are the ones living their life for the flesh, because they don't have mind and they don't have heart. But if you are a human being whom Allah favored you over the animals with a mind and a heart, then you choose the materialistic enjoyment, so you are the great loser in the worldly life and in the hereafter, because Allah will not allow you to live any true enjoyment. It is only the false enjoyment which the shaitan will all the time make it for you to feel that I am the one enjoying all the enjoyment of the worldly life. This is false enjoyment. There is no tranquility, there is no calmness, there is no peace except with the obedience of the rules of the one who creates life. He created life, and he, the exalted Allah, the Almighty, created this life and the human being, and he had his own rules. The most important rule is that you will not have tranquility, peace, mental peace, except when you obey the Lord. You don't want to obey the Lord and you want to obey the shaitan and to have the impression that I am living the great success through following the shaitan. It is your own problem and it is your own mistake, and you will never have any calmness, tranquility or happiness real. This is the real. We are discussing the real happiness, the happiness of the heart. Not just the happiness when we eat, when we drink, when we sleep like the animals. Okay, unfortunately, this is the reality of what we are living. When nowadays, when you try to help some of the Muslims and to clarify to them the way of guidance and to tell them, sisters, the great success The supreme success is to have the paradise as your final destination through the obedience of the rules of Allah, and also Allah will give you the calmness and the tranquility and the mental peace, which is the reality of happiness in the worldly life. Most of the Muslims will tell you, no, we believe that there is real happiness in this life when we enjoy the materialistic enjoyment and when we have the best house, the best car, the best prestige, the best kids. When we have all of this, we will best close whatever they have from the materialistic. Unfortunately, if we look around with the depth and with the light of belief, we will realize that they are deceiving themselves. They are not happy. This is the false happiness, which the shaitan is trying to mislead them, because they forget about Allah and they forget about the Holy Quran. Because these are the words of Allah. Allah is clarifying. Oh Allah, what is the great happy, the supreme success? The supreme success is that when Allah will admit the believing men and women to gardens under which rivers flow to abide therein forever, and Allah expiates from them their sins. This is the with Allah the supreme success. So if we are following the rules of Allah, we will know that this is the supreme success. But if we are many of the Muslims whom they forget completely about the Holy Quran, and they have for themselves their own rules, their own way of life, so the materialistic enjoyment is their supreme success. No problem. Let us wait and see. There must come a day when everyone will be standing in front of Allah, and on that day everyone will realize the reality regarding what was the supreme success regarding eternal life in the paradise or eternal life in the hereafter. Okay? So all praise to Allah that we are learning the Holy Quran, that while we are still in the worldly life and we have the chance to follow the way of Allah and the way of guidance, we are learning the way of guidance, and we have our rules clear in our spirit. What is the supreme success? I mentioned the supreme success. To continue actually to learn from these verses of the Quran, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allah is mentioning the qualities of the Messenger of Allah. Allah is mentioning about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily we have sent you as a witness of the creation, and as a man giving the glad tidings, and as a warner, in order that you may believe in Allah and His Messenger, and to help Him, and to respect and honor Him, and to also to glorify Allah's praises. Day in the early and the last part of the day. Again, Allah is clarifying that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the one giving the glad tidings to the believers, and he is a warner, and on the day of judgment he will be a witness on all the creations. Allah mentioned this before in Surah Al-Baqarah. Okay, that Prophet Muhammad will be a witness against all the creation, that He came with a message, and this is the only message of Islam which is accepted on the Day of Judgment. So why you didn't accept the message? Why you didn't follow the rules of the message? Okay, actually this was mentioned in chapter 2 in Surah Al-Baqarah regarding that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will be a witness, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, over all the creations on the Day of Judgment. This is mentioned in Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah number 2, verse number 134, so that inshallah there will be no excuse for any Muslim who is not following the rules of Allah, who forget completely about the Holy Quran, that on the Day of Judgment Prophet Muhammad will be witness against him. In Surah number 2, verse number 143, Allah said, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا.
And thus we made you a median, a just community, that you will be witnesses over the people, and the messenger will be a witness over you.
So actually, sister, this is a very important fact for every one of us. Now we are learning the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we are learning the qualities of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we are learning that Allah said in the Holy Quran that he who obeys the messenger has indeed obeyed Allah the Almighty. So we must actually believe in the depth of our hearts that we must follow the rules of Allah and the sayings of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and live our life as he had lived his life, so that on the day of judgment, when he will be witness again over all the creations, we will be from those whom they already followed the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way of life, so that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will ask forgiveness for us on the day of judgment. This is a very important fact for every one of us to know why we are learning his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Okay, so that inshallah he will be, when he will be a witness, he will be with us. He will ask forgiveness for us. Okay, we are the winners. When we learn his life and when we follow him, we will be inshallah the winners on the day of judgment. We will continue to learn about a very important verse of the Quran from chapter 48. We must know the meaning of this verse. Verse number 18. From surah number 48, verse number 18, okay? As Allah said, indeed, Allah was pleased with the believers when they gave you, when they gave the pledge to you, O Muhammad, under the tree. Okay, this is again the pledge under the tree. They knew what was in their hearts, and so Allah sent the calmness and tranquility upon them, and He rewarded them with a near victory. Actually, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allah said in the Holy Quran regarding this verse, in Surah number 4, verse number 80, He who obeyed the messenger has indeed obeyed Allah. So those whom they gave the pledge to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to obey him, Allah was pleased with them because whoever obeyed the messenger, he indeed obeyed Allah. And Allah also said in this chapter, the hand of Allah is over their hands. What is the meaning of the hand of Allah is over their hands? It means that he is with them, hearing their statements and witnessing their stand, having full knowledge of them inwardly and outwardly. Therefore, Allah the Exalted was indeed taking the pledge from them through the messenger. And also Allah said, and whosoever fulfills what the covenants he makes with Allah, he will bestow on him a great reward. So actually, sisters, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, these are some of the meanings of the Holy Quran of chapter 48, which are related to the Treaty of Hudaybiyah. And inshallah, next week we will learn that the Treaty of Hudaybiyah will be the way to the conquest of Mecca, and Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will do the pilgrimage, and he will give his last ceremony, and then he will die in Mecca, inshallah. We will learn all these facts next week, inshallah, and let us make the dua. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Oh Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. Oh Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us, and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. Oh Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. Oh Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. Oh Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. Oh Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. Oh Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. Oh Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. Oh Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. Oh Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. Oh Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds, our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life, our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after death. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Amen.